The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Hello and welcome, friends. So this week we have been exploring the teachings of karma together, and I'd like to share just a few minutes of review of what we've covered this week, so that if you feel inspired, if you've missed any of the talks, or if you feel inspired to go back, you can. And also I'll add a few more teachings today. So karma, not as a teaching of this magical something that has been passed down from some previous life, and whether I'm doing well or poorly or others, oh, it's the fault of what they did in the past life. Ouch, very painful way to contract around that teaching. But actually to see it as an empowerment, as an empowering teaching of how our intentions, actions here and now can form, can shape who we are, who we become, how we serve in the next moment and the next moment and the next moment, which is actually quite concordant with what neuroscience nowadays tells us about how plastic our brain we are. We're so plastic, and our actions, the way we behave and act, it changes, it shifts the river of our thoughts, our actions, and the way who we become in the world. So we talked about the three aspects of karma is action. There's the leading edge, which is the intention. There is the action itself. It's the doing, which is the doing of the mind. Thoughts are considered actions of the mind. There's the doing in the mind, actions of speech, actions of the body. And then there's the trailing edge of the action. What is left, what is made, what is left, these ossified karmic relics that we create and we leave in our bodies, minds, we become. And the image of a potter that's intending to create, is shaping, forming, and then leaves the creation in a kiln and becomes ossified. So in that way, we create all these momentums, all these relics. So we then talked about, the next day we talked about how wakefulness, how actually changing our karma in every moment, intending to wake up and make another choice, is possible through mindfulness. When you are mindful, not just on the cushion, but in daily life. So then the practice of karma awareness and shifting your karma isn't just limited to sitting silently on the cushion, but it becomes a daily life practice of awareness each moment. What am I thinking? Oh, sweetheart, do you really want to be thinking about that? Do you really want to beat that dead horse that you've been beating for 10 years and it's not really helping you or helping anyone? So moments of awareness with kindness. Darling, please, let's try something different. May you be well. May I be well. Planting seeds of kindness. And then we talked about, it's not so much the what, the object in awareness that arises, but how we relate to it. It's the way that we engage that really shapes and forms the karma. It's our engagement. It's our reaction or reactivity or the way we interact with some. So it's our engagement, that emotional quality of our engagement, the actions of the mind and heart, how we intend and engage, that really shape and form. And again, concordant with neuroscience in the ways that emotion, when there is an emotion regarding an event, an object in the sensory space, it actually fixes it more in place in terms of a pattern. Yesterday we talked about rebirth reconsidering rebirth, reimagining rebirth. If rebirth were true, it wouldn't be again this magical thing, perhaps, or this thing that we are powerless against, but in the way of gratitude, as if we have an ancestor, the same way we have physical ancestors. We have this perhaps ancestor that has sent us that sent us goodness and sent us into the future. And what we have received, how can we make the best of this karmic potentiality? How can we make it pretty with beautiful thoughts, beautiful wholesome seeds, and pass it down? And with the teachings of the self being made of causes and conditions, it's really the idea of rebirth really becomes an understanding of gratitude, an understanding of appreciation, and an understanding of generosity. How can we pass on? How can we make this karma as beautiful, as shining as possible, and pass it down to this other human being who's going to have a different nationality and perhaps gender identity and color and circumstances and different sets of neuroses, and we want to pass on the best to this child, to this quote unquote child of ours. So different way to perhaps, if you wish to relate to that. And what I wanted to bring in today, in the time that's limited left after this brief summary, is that there is a lot more detail. There's a lot more, of course, in the teachings of about the teachings of karma, and in fact, I pulled out this book by my teacher, The Workings of Karma by Venerable Paul Xayadaw. So you could go, let's see, how many pages is this? 370 something, 400, you can read 400 pages on karma, the workings of karma. And yet what is really, really important is how this moment's action is conditioning the next and the next and the next with awareness. Really, that's practically, that's what we need to engage with in our lives. But just to bring a little more detail here, there are many different types of classifications in the teachings, especially in the Abhidhamma, in Visuddhimagga, in the higher teachings. There are many different types of classifications of types of karma. I'm going to share just one type of classification, which I think is actually helpful for us, the way to relate to it. So this classification is according to priority of effect, and there are four different types. So one is the heaviest, the highest priority level is called weighty karma or garuka karma. And weighty karma can either be actually good karma, good weighty karma, or karma that has heavy weight, but it's good and it's good, or unwholesome karma. Unwholesome in the teachings, the weighty unwholesome karma is considered killing one's parents and murder of a fully enlightened being, for example, and also a permanent a creation of schism in the sangha is also considered weighty sangha. Now, to think about this, actually in neuroscience terms, there are some actions that are so heavy, not just for ourselves, but for everyone else. They have consequences. So if you create a schism, for example, in a community, that has repercussions for yourself and for everybody else. So we can see why that's number one in terms of weighty karma. And in terms of wholesome karma, there moments of awakening, of course, is a wholesome weighty karma, moments of awakening, freedom, peace, deep states of absorption, etc. Then number two is proximate karma. So proximate karma The teachings actually talk about that in terms of the what do you remember the immediately the moment before you die, the proximate karma for the next rebirth. But actually, it's a lot more general. So proximate karma, we can observe it and really see, again, in the neuroscience terms, if you've been, say, grumpy, if you've been, or you've been thinking, let's say, ill will thoughts, then there is proximate karma. If the previous moment you've been angry and upset, the chances are that the next moment you're going to be angry and upset, right? It's the proximate karma. It's the proximate moment, the mind moment, mind moment. It's the proximate karma. It's what really gives shapes to how you show up, how you act. So interesting to observe these in your own actions in your daily life. The third one is habitual karma, acinna karma. The last one was asanna karma. So number three is habitual acinna karma. Habitual karma, again, that makes sense too, right? What you do most habitually, if you say after you work, maybe you just turn on the television or watch Netflix for hours, and that's just habitually what you do. Well, when you finish working, for example, oh, that's what habitually you have done. You will do. So habitual karma. And then the last one is called reserve or cumulative karma. And this is kind of a catch-all category in this Buddhist categories, and it's basically because done. It literally means because done. So all the actions that were not included in the previous categories, and these are, so if the weighty karma, if the ones that's really heavy, and if the ones that's proximate, and if the ones that's habitual, if none of those actually form or shape this moment's experience, maybe something you've done in the past, something that has been done anyway. But if none of these other ones have very strong impact, then something you have done in the past, some tendency of the mind that is not immediate, that is not necessarily habitual, and is not heavy, but has been done in the past. So it's something that you can think or something that you tend to do, that is what finds fruition. So I think of these categorizations as being helpful as the ways to study and really see our own actions and how the way we think, we act, we intend in the world can shape the next moment, and all of these, how they interact. Again, there are many different ways, classifications. And just to say at the end that it is said that at the night of his enlightenment, the Buddha, before he was enlightened, awakened, his mind woke up and he saw the workings of karma. Karma is deeply connected with dependent origination, with the laws of causality. So these teachings are intertwined, and he woke up to seeing the workings of karma, which are complicated. And yet, what all we need to know really for us, for our liberation, for how we, this being lives and serves and is happy or unhappy and causes happiness or unhappiness in the world, for all beings present and future, is just awareness in this moment. What are we doing? What are we planting in this moment? So thank you. Dear ones, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your practice. Thank you for your awareness, your attention this past week. It's been an honor to share these teachings with you, these beautiful teachings. And I wish you well. I wish you wholesome karma, wholesome deeds, happy actions, happy results, for the sake of yourself, for the sake of all beings everywhere, and future selves, past selves, present selves, all the selves that we are in every moment. So thank you all. Thank you. And let's dedicate the merit of a week of practice. May all beings everywhere, may all beings everywhere, including ourselves, may they wake up to their own goodness, to the capacity to wake up and to be free and to be of service. May all beings be free. Thanks, everyone. Be well.